हरे हे चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासनि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे।
Okay, so then continue. So, with the sambandha abhideya and prayojana. So we just had touched on form qualities and pastimes. So the name establishes the form, creates the attraction. Then the qualities, then one becomes attached to. Because of this, then one will engage in pastimes. That will be the element that is there. So that will bring about then your sambandha, prayojana. And abhideya, or you can turn it where it's the name and form is the sambandha, and then the qualities are the abhideya, because it's through that you will perform activities, and then the activities themselves are your goal that you're trying to get, or that's where the love of God will be experienced. In other words, you're performing the devotional activity, but the experience of it, the love of it, that would be the prayojana. Okay, then, let's see, do we want to do... Okay, so at this point we can mention... We have an element we have of looking at these principles of Godhead from the principle of position of one, or of two, or of three, or of four. So then, this aspect, if this is understood, this, one can move back and forth between them, because that can be very important, very useful. Is that one means we're seeing Krishna as Atmarama, as the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, it encompasses everything. Everything is within him. So nothing is manifest. The creation is not manifest. So there's just one. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami mentions this. He says, beginning Krishna is one. Then he expands as two, as Radha and Krishna. So then that means then Krishna and his energy. Right? So the full form of that, the Srup Shakti, will be Radharani. So then you have the masculine feminine principle. Now, for them to interact, then you have the three, because you have the masculine, you have the feminine, then their interaction. So does that make sense? Right? So then you have so Krishna is one, that's all things, but basically you're dealing with sambandha. Right? Only. Existence. Then with Radharani, then you have the energies, then there's something to obtain, something to experience. But then there has to be a method by which these two can combine. That's your abhideya. Right? So then you get the three, sambandha, abhideya, prayojana. Right? Then the four means is then you're going to split for understanding the difference in sambandha between the first part and the second part. Because this will always come up. It comes up in the philosophy, in Vedanta Sutra. It comes up here in rasa. So both in the tattva and rasa, this necessary, this split. Because one is your purposes, your reasons behind something, or your attractions and that. The other is the field itself, the nature of something itself. Does that make sense? So then, in this, then, for understanding here, then we'll use this Sankarshan, Prajumna, Adiyuddha, and Vasudev. That's one form of the four. So then, that would be your major form of the four. So then, in this, then, you'll get Krishna's different personalities. He has four different main moods that he manifests. The Dhirodatta, the Dhirolalita, Dhiroprashanta, and Dhirodatta. And we see in these moods then, in Sankarshan, then that's would be similar to the Atmarama aspect. Hare Krishna, sir. Hare Krishna. Oh, the class is going. So, call you after class then. Okay. So then, yes, this Atmarama element then is there. Sankarshan, he establishes the rules. You know, what is the relationship with everything? What's the proper relationship? What is the field of activities? All this then will be established there. So this is important for creating the field, but we see in Rasa then it moves to the next stage where you have Prajumna, where there's an interest in the field, right? The name establishes, you know, as Krishna, but the form then starts to give, that's where the attractiveness. The form is what's attractive. Beauty is the attractive. It's the main opulence. When that's there, everything else happens. Right? So then, therefore, because of Madan Mohan, then we have, it moves into the next activities. Right? So then, Prajumna will be that attraction, still Sambandha, but that attraction to work within the field. The interest to work within the field. You know, the, then, Aniruddha, that's the mind, that'll be Gopinath, whereas Prayojana, where it's what you want to obtain. Right? Because the mind has to want to obtain something first. Then there's Vasudev in the pastimes. So then on Monday we can get into this, the details of this. We've gotten into attraction, interest, and desire. Okay, so then means we have attraction in something, yeah. Attraction is something, so then therefore we will then take that interest, you know, that interest or that need will become strong. Then the desire we'll want to do. Here we're using desire meaning it's the active principle. We're not using desire meaning something we want, right? That's the difference. It means many words can be used in many ways. So here we're using it to bring out that means you're going to have an attraction for the field, then there's going to be the, the interest in it, that's what's going to be important for you, then you're going to have the desire to act within that. So it's the same as thinking, feeling, and willing, like that. So these are all the different natures. So the field, the nature, the rules, that's your Sankarshan, right? Your attract, or you can say attraction, interest, desire, these could all be the same different elements of Prajumna, right? It means you have attraction to the field or a desire to be involved in that, something to that, an interest in that. These are all, means in other words, there's something alive there. Like that. So more details we'll discuss on Monday. We'll go into the Kalyana Gunas, like that. So for now, we'll concentrate now, because we've discussed the three, the one, now we'll discuss the two. And then on Monday we'll discuss more detail the four. So in the two then we have, that's the masculine, means you have Krishna and his creation, or the masculine and feminine principles. From this then arises, means the proper mentality is I am servant of Krishna, having love, expressing my love for Krishna is the goal of life. That's its proper, you know, Krishna is the enjoyer. I am the servant, Krishna is the enjoyer. I am the controlled, and I am, you know, enjoyed by Krishna. That's the natural state. But otherwise, then, we get into, I am the controller, I am the enjoyer. Right? So all these were dealing with sambandha and prayojana. Right? The two means we're dealing sambandha prayojana. So then there's, and the action will be based upon that mentality. Whatever is your mentality, that's what it will become. If your mentality is that of, I am servant of Krishna, I want to please Krishna, then the abhideya is going to be service to Krishna. If I am the controller, I am the enjoyer, then your abhideya is going to be something mundane for your own benefit. Right? Does that make sense? So there's a lot of these terms based on this too. So then controller and enjoyer is there. I and mine, right? I, that's identity. Mine is what you're attached to, like that. So depending on how you see yourself, then that's what you're going to identify as yours. Right? You change how you see yourself, you change how you deal with what's yours, or what you consider yours. Right? When also in the inverse, if something is yours, that means you have to be the support of it. Right? You can't have something's yours and not take care of it. Does that make sense? Otherwise, you can't say, I. That's mine, but okay, but then what's the point of what's I? Because mine is always based on I. Right? The feminine is always dependent upon the masculine. Does that make sense? Right? Does that make sense? So you say, this is my house, means you have to be the one that takes care of it. Otherwise, how can it be your house? Does that make sense? So otherwise, then, how is its identity going to be there? So we like to see it that way, but not the other way. The inverse, but they go both ways. Right? If you're going to be the controller, the enjoyer, you have to be the controller. So you can't just sit back and think, I'm going to enjoy. No, you have to be controlling the situation. Then only you can enjoy. So if we expect the other person to control the situation and create my enjoyment, that's not going to work. Does that make sense? Like that. Then we have fear and attachment. So fear is because we're fearful of our actual identity. We're fearful that I am servant of God. We're fearful that I am not this body. Therefore, then there's a problem, right? And so then, and that other side then manifests as attachment. Right? It means if there's control, there's enjoyment. If there's fear, there's attachment. Right? So that's why we see is that the impersonalists, then they focus so much on attachment because they're fearful. They're fearful that God is God and I'm his servant. Right? That's not exactly how they like it to go down. Right? So these things then go. And if you're attached, then you're going to be fearful. You're attached to something, then if something might happen to it, because that's your connection, because the fear is in the sambandha category. So your position is there because of that. Does that make sense? So that's why if there's attachment, then there's fear. So when you say that the devotee is fearless, means he's not attached. They go together. Right? Because you can't be fearless if you're attached. Does that make sense? So these go together. We can see is that the same principles, but these different views then give us interest into so many aspects of the human, you know, psyche, human activity. Like that. Gain and safety. So then that's also same. Safety is your sambandha, gain is your prayojana. I have something, then it must be safe. So that's like we have, what do you call it? How you say? If we have attachment, then there's fear. So if we have gain, there'll be, you know, the anxiety that comes with it. So we want safety. So we see that generally is, that here is also a point, is that the masculine, because the masculine will look at prayojana, the feminine will look at the sambandha. Right? Does that make sense? So the masculine is looking for gain. The feminine is looking for safety. Right? Men get upset when they can't gain what they want. Women get upset when their security is lost. Right. Does that make sense? Like that. Means you make some comment, make the man feel, humiliate him. Then he may just feel humiliated, but he'll think, I'll get back this way or that way. He maintains his identity. He doesn't necessarily become angry. But the woman will. Right? Does that make sense? So therefore, if a woman is upset, that means something in her security has been reduced. So if you want to know what you did wrong, look at what you said or did, how that is connected to her security. Right? Because otherwise, it doesn't make any sense. It makes perfect sense. You don't know where to look. Because you're looking at gain. No, you should be looking at safety. Right? Man has safety, woman has gain. Does that make sense? Their field is gain, the man's field is safety. Right? Just as the man could go on and on creating a safe environment, the woman could go on and on gaining things. Does that make sense? The man wants to protect it, the woman wants to buy it. Does that make sense? Man is thinking, how can she shop all day? And she's thinking, how can he sit around and, take care of the house all day? Does that make sense? Okay. For security, facility, experience. Security and facility means facility means security, right? Security means having something that can be used as a medium for the relationship. Does that make sense? So a house is facility, but the house means then you're secure in now the activities you'd want to do in a house, you can do. They're secure. You have the house. Does that make sense? Like that. And experience is then what you're going to get from that facility or that security. Right? Does that make sense? Then desire, attraction, need, goal. Okay, desire and attraction. These are different aspects we mentioned before, the sambandha, attraction, desire, interest. These things, it's the same. Need, goal. Those would be the same. Means your need, your goal. It's the same thing. It's something you're thinking. I want to get this, but it's a need. Right, so actually, the point of happiness, because happiness in the material world is removing a pain. So the pain is the need for something. And so when you get it, you remove the pain of that need. Then you call yourself happy. Right? Does this make sense? Doesn't make sense. Kind of makes sense. Maybe it makes sense. It makes sense, but you don't understand it. Okay. Okay, is that okay? Okay, then, is there any questions on any of these? The one, the two, or the three, yes.
As for these principles, they all can be connected to always remember Krishna or forget Krishna.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these two main principles, because it means you always remember, you never forget. Then your action will be correct. That's why when you mention one, he always means he has his creation. God means his creation and everything. We don't think of him separate, because if God was in his position as one now, we wouldn't be here to be thinking about it. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, God means his creation. So that person who is one expands, so he's two, right? And because of that, he will interact, because he's expanded for rasa, for increasing the taste of happiness. Therefore, he interacts. So when you say two, it means there'll be interaction, like that. So therefore, like he's pointed out, is this always remember Krishna, never forget, then means, oh, never forget means is your sambandha. You don't forget your relationship. You don't forget the position. Always remember means you're absorbed in Krishna. So, you know, that one develops that love for Krishna. If these are in place, then one will act in Krishna consciousness. Right? If you forget Krishna, then you're not going to act in Krishna consciousness. You remember him, you will. Right? Does that make sense? So it goes together. Because if you forget him, you're not going to be interested to remember, so your actions aren't going to be proper. Right? Another. Anything else? You had something?
Did you say that attraction, interest, and desire, they're all, they can all be brought back down to Pradyumna? They're all within field?
Yeah. Just like the field, nature, and all the different rules, that can be Sankarshan. Like that. So desire and attraction, we've already mentioned that. So need and goal, that would be your Prayojana. So you could say field, nature, rules, that would be Sankarshan of Sambandha. Attraction, interest, desire, that would be Prajumna of Sambandha. And need and goal or experience, you know, like that, that would be. Yeah, so the idea is all those ones, you know, I, fear, control, safety, security, facility, desire, this is all one thing. Right? You know, in the same way as mine, attachment, the enjoyer, gain, experience, need, you know, a goal, that's all your prayojana. Does that make sense? So, but by studying it from different angles, this is vichar, then you get a more clear picture. Otherwise, we see it in one way, and that makes sense, but then there's so many other aspects of our life we don't apply it to. So there's all these different ways just so that we will try to broaden our application of always remembering Krishna and never forgetting. Okay. Then next area is stages of education. Pranipati Pariprashna and Sevaya. So is that if there's service, there's going to be an interest. There's an interest, you're going to inquire submissively. Right? In other words, someone who inquires submissively means he wants to know, he wants the knowledge. Someone who doesn't inquire submissively means he has a doubt. It's a challenge. He doesn't want to know. He sees something wrong with what you're saying. So it's not that he wants to know what you're saying, he just sees a fault. You know. Therefore, is that if there's proper interest to learn, one will try to learn. Then he will try to have the knowledge. He will then practice it. That's sevaya. So pranipata, or the interest submissive inquiry, means you will contemplate, you will apply it as seva. Right? That will then again generate the interest to know. Right? So that means then the cycle of knowledge will continue. Right. So, yeah. And by this process, then when one has a desire to know, and one is applying this knowledge practically, with time that will develop practices, that will develop realization, will develop proper good values and qualities. Right? That's how they're going to come. Right? Good qualities, virtues, a realization comes from consistent practice with proper understanding. Right? So that's why at the core of the system of knowledge is its practice. Because right? Otherwise, if you just learn so much knowledge, after a while, you know, it won't be good for you. Right? I've seen so many times they have professional students. All they do is study. They never apply it. Very nice people, gentle people, but basically speaking, they don't do anything. Right? So the point is knowledge must be applied. That will give you realization.
So when we study chronologically, then analytically, that analytically represents the absorption in the matter of priority?
That would be your where are we? Pranipata. That would be the interest and your submissive inquiry.
Yeah.
night. But that's your, that would be sambandha and basically be more that this. It means, you could say it's means, why don't we leave your question for the next aspect? That'll make it more clear. Because this is taking on the point is that in interest to know and ability to, and having the character that you can inquire submissively comes from service. That's the main point of this, of these three approach, is that it's only through applying that knowledge, in other words, by performing the service, then you will know. That's why in the Gurukul system so much time is spent doing service. The more service that's done, the more one can inquire, the more one has interest. So this idea by many, many, you know, parents or educators that you're wasting, Gurukul system is wasting the students' time by doing menial service when they could be doing more academics, is fallacious, because the kids, it's a known fact in your common general schools, kids have no interest. Private schools, maybe, but your general schools, none. Why? Because they do nothing. Right? And if you have private schools, they do, that's because they do something at home. They still do not much at the school. They might do more. They might manage the school, do different things. They take some responsibility. There's an identity with the school. Right? How many kids, you know, identify, yes, I went to high school, you know, 57. You know, there's not much identity. Right? But if you go to these, like, private schools, then which, of course, in England are called public schools. Like that. Very clever. Well, what it means is what they consider public. Right? You know, there's leaders, then there's the public, and then there's kind of something else. Right? So in other words, schools that are not run by the government, let's say, you know, though, then there's more identity with it, there's more service involved in it, so therefore there's a little bit more, but that should reflect the people already came with that mentality. It didn't generate it. It may be able to maintain it to some degree, but it's not generating it. The idea is Gurukul should generate the interest, right? So therefore, seva has to be done. Does that make sense? So the you can, means basically you can tell how good a student is by watching them do their service. How they hold the broom, how they serve. I mean, how they do that, how they serve, how they wash pots, how they wash your clothes, you know, their interaction with others. You can tell this is a good student or a bad student. Like that. Previously, I don't know that we'll do it here, but when we were running the same Bhakti Shastri course back in the 80s, like that, the means you had all your essays and you did all that, so you got graded on that, but the final mark was very interesting. There was a huge, big box, and all the students were invited over to this box by the teacher. The box was opened, and the students all look inside, wondering what's inside. When they look inside, they find brooms. Then the teacher gave them each an area in the school to sweep. And then watching how they swept and the quality of what they called, you know, the work is done, they got a mark. Because if it doesn't come to pranipada pariprashana, if it doesn't come to sevaya, means you didn't learn anything. So that was how the final grades for the previous Bhakti Shastri course was run. That. You understand? It's very easy. You can sit down and watch how someone handles a broom and you can tell everything about them. Their whole mentality, their attitude, their, you know, how well they can study, you know, their attitude towards others, everything you can tell by that one thing. You know, like that. So it's, service is very important. So, yeah. In other words, now we've revealed this, then no one should think that they're getting away and nobody knows what you're like, you know? Does that make sense? It's just how you clean up, how much dust you leave on the floor, because the dustpan is a little curved, so it doesn't actually hit the floor, so that's as good as it gets. I watched somebody spend a lot of trouble pushing down on the thing today to make sure it all, and then what dust was left, that they made sure to pick it up, get it off the floor, and get it out of there, what couldn't go into the pan. At the same time, I watched those who just plunk it down and go like this, and in the one sweep, whatever goes inside, and then walk off and leave this much stuff on the floor, and they said, what can you do? You're like that. And like that, exactly, those students are good and their academics are not. Good with others. Have a devotional attitude. Good sadhana. It's direct. It's not indirect. So from lack of understanding or knowing this science, I would even say lack of faith, then people will recommend that kids do more academics and less service. And then when they grow up, then adults do service. They do practical work. They spent their whole life never doing anything practical. Then suddenly you have to. Most people don't like to, so they try to find some shortcut. You know? And that's reality. So does that make sense? So it's very important. Three stages of learning. This is Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Shravanam, manana, nididhyasana. So shravana means hearing knowledge from the teacher. You're going to get this knowledge. So that's based on authority. So the main source of knowledge is authority. Then one's going to apply that knowledge. That means one's going to have to bring it down to the observable level. But it starts, it's descending. It starts from authority, comes down to pratyaksha. Right? Ascending means you start with pratyaksha, or you know, or the senses, and try to take it to authority. It won't make it, right? Like that, because then when you get to authority, then the impersonalists find out they are the authority. I am God, so, you know. So it's not a very good system. Manana is that you get an intellectual understanding through practice and reflection. Right? In other words, this vichar is very important. You get an understanding of it, then you see it from different angles, and you practice it. By practicing it, you get more of an understanding, you see it from another angle. You know, it's just like you sit there and watch someone cook. They know how to cook. You watch, it means for them, the cooking's easy. They're expert at it. Watching is also very easy, right? You know, like that. So then you look at it. It looks easy. Yeah, you just put the ghee in the thing and then, you know, throw in a few spices and all that and then throw in the vegetable and push it around and all that. And then, it cooks for a while and hari bol. Yeah, I can do that. No big deal. Then, when you have to do it, then somehow or another a different perception arises. How much ghee do you put? How hot is the ghee? How much spice? How long do you leave it in the ghee? You know, when do you throw in these other vegetables? How much do you push them around? How much do you, boil them? How do you know when they're cooked? How much water is there? Then it comes, so that's why practice is important, because then your perception starts to broaden. Because before you just saw, you put a few things in, this, that, and that, done. Like that. But then as you have to do it, then you start to see there's more elements. Then next time you watch, you'll be much more observant. Because otherwise you saw ghee was there, spices are thrown in. Next time you look, how much ghee? How hot was the ghee? What color did the spices turn? Like that. Because as far as you remember, they weren't black when the other person showed you how to cook them. And the vegetable was soft when you ate it, what they cooked, and yours is not. So, like that, you start to get more aware, like that. So, yes?
So for this shravana, and then this application of the knowledge that was heard, and then after that, there is manana.
No. Shravana is just the hearing of the knowledge. So that will be your interest, that will be your pranipata and pariprashna. You have an interest to learn, therefore you pay attention and you inquire submissively because you want an answer like that. Because you get the best answer from that way. So if you challenge, then you're going to get something that is designed to break the doubt. But it'll only do that because that's all the more you can appreciate. If you want to know more, then that question will deal with that and broader. So you get more out of submission than you do out of challenging. You know what I'm saying? Some think that challenging will get their answers. But the problem is it does, but it makes for a kind of a rough environment. Then it starts a very strong discussion between the speaker and that one person, and a lot of other people feel left out. And what is it? And plus, then depending upon the skill or the, you know, of these persons, then you sometimes run the risk of one of them or both of them becoming annoyed or insulted, like that. I mean, I just ran across this when I where was that place? I think it was in Boston. Yeah, we went to somebody's house, and there was just one of these devotees. You know, he's been around forever, like that. And intelligent, more intelligent than most. He was very intelligent. Indian, so naturally he felt he was already a step ahead of all the Westerners anyway. And, you know, well-read, so he could pull so many things out of the hat and all that. So he felt that to create discussion and all that, to bring the classes from just the ordinary day-to-day into something special, he had to ask in a very challenging way and like that. Unfortunately, he didn't notice that people were already asking questions like that, because not so much questions are dealt with. And it was coming in from angles he had never even heard of. In fact, that's why the challenges came up, because he'd never even understood that such body of knowledge existed. Then he starts on the challenge, and then because it's coming in from, you know, the perpendicular angles of his false ego and that being pointed out to them was very disturbing to him. Because it was very obvious that his questions were being asked from this angle due to false ego. And he didn't actually want an answer. He was just blabbering. So that being pointed out made him feel very bad. And when they feel bad, then because it's also the environment it was also in an Indian house. Indians don't like, you know, altercations, all this fighting. You know, when you have sadhus and spiritual life, it should be very pleasant and nice. So it unsettled the hosts also. But unfortunately, the speaker wasn't going to let, you know, this person of ego, you know, run away with the whole class for his own purposes. So then trying to set them straight, it just basically ruined the atmosphere, because that person couldn't handle it, because he had never been really defeated by anybody. Everyone respected his, you know, opinion or position, or at least that he had, you know, questions that, you know, are tough to answer. But no one dealt with him as a person. You know, because him as a person, he had problems. You know, very intelligent. You know, questions were nice, but the reasons he asked the questions weren't right. They weren't coming from Pranipata or Pariprashna. You know, you could see he wasn't applying how much knowledge he had. He wasn't applying it, so therefore he didn't have realization. Does that make sense? So. The Shravana means you hear night. Manana means then you're going to. It means, in other words, with understanding, you're going to try to perform the activity. By performing the activity, you're going to get more understanding. So they nourish each other, like that. So that's manana. Then that will bring us to the next stage, nididhyasana. Then, which is, you know, here, so conscious development and application of personal values into one's life due to realization of what has been learned. In other words, you realize what is there, its purpose, its importance, so therefore you consciously try to apply it in your life. By manana, you've developed practices, therefore you take those practices now more seriously. Before they were something that you should do, now it becomes something you want to do. Does that make sense? So it also brings it to the natural, the spontaneous platform. Yes?
What does pranipata mean?
Pranipata, that means it means the desire to know or interest. Okay? Yes? Something? No. Okay. I'd recommend in this kind of situation to use this part of the hand as opposed to this part. Because when you scratch your head like this, it looks like you're just shy. You want to ask a question, but you're not quite sure, you know. So, you know what I mean? Like that. If you stick to this, then we understand. You could also stick the chin out a little bit. Improves the quality of the scratch. You know. Wasn't, why would monkeys do it, right? They're practical. So. It works. Okay. Okay. Okay, does that answer your question now?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Then you have four stages of learning, which is basically the same thing, but it's just another angle because it's bringing out another aspect. In other words, the first one is bringing out that you have to serve. You have to apply it. The Pranipati Pari Prashna Sevaya. Right? Because it's not dealing there with Nididhyasana. If you do that, Nididhyasana will come. So it's just like, it means you don't have, just like if you say, Sambandhan Abhideya, the action will give you Prayojana. Right? If you say you perform this action, perform your duties properly, means you will get the result that comes from proper performance of duties. Right? Or just like you're saying, you know, thinking and feeling, it means willing will be there. If you have Sambandha and Prayojana, because you have a need for that, you will act. Does that make sense? So here, in the same way as then Panipratta Pari Prashna Sevaya, it's talking about the aspects of Sambandha and Abhideya. It means Prayojana will come. Right? Does that make sense? Yes.
Similarly, if your Sambandha is proper, then naturally it will lead to that desire and that great need to perform.
Yes, it will. If you bring it to that point of interest. You know what I'm saying? Because you can be rightly situated. That's what we were talking about, the difference between the Sankarshan and Prajumna. Sankarshan means you are properly situated. You know who you are, you know everything, you know the field, everything's proper in the field. But unless there's an interest to act in that field, there will be no action. Once you come to an interest, by contemplating that, then there'll be attachment. Once there's attachment, there'll be action. You know what I'm saying? That's why some people can be very expert in who they are and their position and all that, but have no relationship with anybody else. You know, they're very expert, they do all their work nicely, you can depend upon them, they're always there, they never do anything wrong, they come early, they leave late, you know, they're like that, but they have no relationship with anybody else in the workplace. Because they're only functioning in Sankarshan. In other words, they're just getting, this is my work, I'm getting it done correctly. So it'll have all the Abhideya and Prayojana in it, but it's within the sphere of Sambandha. It hasn't actually gone to the bigger picture of it. Right? So there's no relationship with anybody else. So unless they come to that other thing that they're looking to work with the broader range of the field, you know, have relationships with the aspects of the field. Or you have the other person who's very efficient, but just uses, you know, people. Because they only see them as elements of the field. This person does this for me, I get that from that person, I'll talk to this one, I get this done, and then bring that from that, and I'll get... But they're not dealing with people. So therefore, even though technically that, okay, that's the person in the field, so that I need to get something from them, it's Prayojana, I go to them and ask for it, that's the Abhideya, I got it. But the whole consideration is without actual dynamic relationship. You know, in other words, you're dealing with dead matter, even though it seems to walk around and talk and, you know, sometimes does stupid things. But still, it's basically just, it could be an object or it could be a person, it doesn't matter. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Well, when we go into the element of Prajumna, then Prajumna, Aniruddha, they'll go together. But that all happens in the field. That's why the field must be there. You have to have this knowledge. But unless you perform activities, you won't have a desire to work in that area. Right? Does that make sense? Just like devotees would ask Prabhupada, I'm in the kirtan, but I don't feel like dancing. What should I do? And Prabhupada says, dance. Even you artificially dance, it will generate the interest to dance because the dancing is service. We'll look at some other alternative kind of thing outside the sphere. But in other words, performing devotional service will generate the interest to do devotional service. right? Any action done then plants a seed to do the same thing again, right? So that's the process. That's why Vaidhi Sadhana is there. You don't necessarily want to do it, but you know you should, so by intelligence you do. By doing that with the proper knowledge, like that, then the desire, actual desire to do it will come, right? And that will mature into a need to perform.
It's the different levels of need, like you were mentioning need to Prayojana, but there's the materialist need is their desires.
They call it desire, but because they don't make the distinction between need and desire. It's synonyms for them. What we're pointing out is that they are synonyms in certain ways, but in certain ways they're not. Because here we're putting attraction, interest, desire, that more together. Need is another thing. You just don't really, because it's not really used so much now. But before they used to use it, means you go way back, I don't know how far back, 100 years, need would be used much more. People were more in touch with actually their own feelings. So they had this terminology, must needs. You know, he must needs that. It means it's something he has to have. You know, it's not just a need, it's a must need. You know, so it would mean, you know, that attachment, that he has to work for that. It's something you have to do. So now it's a desire, it's just a feeling which is there, but if that feeling hasn't matured, you won't act. So if you're acting on it, then that would be what we call prayojan. If you're not acting on it, you just have the desire, then that would be what we call samanda. Like that. It's just, the point is not as important the word, because the problem is that words can be used in so many ways. It's the position one is in to do. So if one is saying, yeah, I really like that, you know, but is he going to act on that? When he's willing to act on it, then that's prayojan. If it's a need to get him to that, then you have to point out, yeah, it's great, with that you can do this, you can do that, then it generates the need, then he'll act. You know, just like a student doesn't necessarily do something, like we're talking about, he doesn't sleep before properly. That's because he doesn't see the importance of it, he doesn't see the need, he doesn't have a need to sleep properly. Right? But when he understands what sweeping properly does for you, you know, or that position that it generates from having it, you know, the clean environment, this auspicious environment, the mode of goodness environment, then the learning in nature, you know, he has to be in that kind of environment, then he'll apply himself. So that's why the most important thing in education, you know, of training is education. You know, is that somebody does something wrong, it's due to ignorance. That's why the first thing is try to explain to them why it's not to be done. Right? It's not immediately the punishment or chastisement. If there's a danger, then you may have to go to that just to stop it. Then there, but explanation has to be there. So by explanation, then most of your work is done. So the Brahminical field, you don't even have to take it beyond explanation, because they'll work it out, they'll apply it. Right? And then as you go down, depending upon the character of the individual, they can work it out themselves, or they have to, you know, get some correction. Like that. So for a person, you know, and for a person who's not going to be corrected by the correction anyway, it's academic, but still it has to be done, because that's the method. And others will be satisfied that, you know, they're getting some kind of punishment. But it doesn't do anything for them, so that's a problem. So they'll have to get punished rather than once, many, many times before they start to figure out that this is a problem. Does that make sense?
Well, you were saying yesterday, that's why we study philosophy.
Yeah, the philosophy will make it clear what you do. At the same time as you have to study the interaction, relationship, or rasa, so that you know that what you're doing is proper. Right? Because the philosophy is where its origin is, what its position is. In other words, it's the sambandha jnana of it, like that, which covers everything. Right? When you're studying, you know, why it's there, the purpose of it, that's still sambandha. The application of it and how you apply it, that's avideya. You know what I'm saying? You know, one should perform devotional service. It will develop one's love for God. By chanting Hare Krishna, you develop love for God. This is all sambandha. But it's Sambandha being applied on who you are. You're a servant of God. Your position is to have that natural, express your love for God. You know, you're going to get that done by chanting. This is all Sambandha, though we've discussed Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. Now, how you're going to chant, you know, what is the nature of that experience of love of God? That's going to be Abhideya or Prayojana. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right? So that's why the Sanatana Goswami's instructions and Rupa Goswami's, the subject matter appears the same, but the angle of approach is different. One is establishing the field, the other is how you operate the field. Right? Therefore, the field is considered the senior, even though the operation is the most important and central. That's why Sanatana Goswami is seen as the senior. Right? Rupa Goswami accepts him as senior. That's why Balaram is seen as senior to Krishna, because it's the field, Sankarshan. But in actuality, the important element is the activity. Therefore, Krishna is the center of the Braja Leela. Therefore, Rupa Goswami is the center of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. You understand? Like that. Okay, so we'll end for today.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki.